Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Sissoko finally waited. Eriksen, low, great ball into the middle, what a save by Heaton. Tonight's Davison Sanchez, Lucas Moura, and belted into the net, brilliant goal! On debut, Tunde Ondombele has scored the equaliser for Spurs. Lucas Moura clips it, oh great goal! Stephen Bergwijn has arrived in North London! Absolutely incredible on debut! Aurier! What a finish for 3-2 from Serge Aurier!
First time here to Son. Kane. Good area for Spurs. And Kane's not afraid to shoot. Wow, what a goal, Harry Kane! That is exceptional! Lamella will try and place it. Wonderfully taken by Eric Lamella. Never afraid to take on a shot, and with good reason. Terry in the Burnley back line, and Son breaks forward. Oh wow, what a run! Yunmin Son from inside his own half has scored one of the best goals of his Spurs career.
Welcome. This is a late one for us tonight. For those who are listening live from Touchline Hotspur underneath the Touchline Fracker banner in association with NSO. I'll be a host tonight, X-Pac, flanked by my co-host Scott Hall, was at the game tonight and I believe may have even stayed for the full game. How are you doing, man?
I did stay for the full game. I'm doing very well. There is a bit of a breakdown for this game today, and there's probably about, I could probably name four players now, because I think this is the first game. Yeah, this is the first game I've gone to live this season. It's probably four players I never want to see again.
And we'll definitely get into it. Before we carry on as well, do you remember where the team we played from tonight is from?
No, but I'm going to assume... This is a big assumption. Ukraine?
Oh, that wouldn't be a bad guess. Slovenia.
Oh.
But yeah. Play the team from Slovenia. What a competition we're in. But yeah, but we'll get into it because unfortunately we've got to break down the game which happened at the weekend, which pretty much took all of our flags down to half mast. And we obviously had the North London Derby on the weekend. Yeah, to start it off, it was a funny lineup. Like, it was one of those lineups where straight away it unified the fan base, which has been a rare thing in the past 18 months, 2 years. It unified the fan base because everybody could tell it was going to be a disaster, especially in midfield. Like, we obviously lined up with our usual suspects as the kind of back five. Like, we went with Lloris. Tanganga came in at right back as suspected. We then decided to go with Dier and Sanchez purely because they got us clean sheets earlier on in the season, Reguilon, and then get to the midfield. And for whatever reason, Nuno decided for the first time this season to play Højbjerg at the base of midfield on his own, with Ndombele in a deeper position, even though some could argue he's probably not match fit yet, with Dele as the spearhead of the midfield, aimed to be the creative hub of the team. Then the front three of Lucas Moura, Kane and Son. And honestly, I don't know where to start. I guess you could say 11, 12 minutes in, when Arsenal scored their first goal. And you could even start before that, because the warning signs were there from the start. Like, we went in with a game plan which looked like we were going to push the fullbacks up ridiculously high, which kind of aimed to be a front-footed approach from Nuno. Like, I think that's what he attempted. But again, like, there was no ball retention in midfield. There was no aim or plan to recover the ball if we lost it, because we had we deployed some long ball tactic into Kane. So we decided to... I'm not even sure if this was by design or the players may have even gone rogue. But all of the midfielders aimed to, I guess, try and get on the flick-ons of these long balls to Kane, but the really and truly, like, Kane's had some valid criticism so far this season, but the long balls into him were so poor. They were so poor. He couldn't even, like, get it into his chest or lower for him to be able to trap it down. We were hitting up aimless balls to him, which resulted in Harry Kane subsequently losing duels with Ben White privilege of all people. So yeah, really and truly, the game plan was dead from the start. We obviously got countered numerous times, even before the first goal. But yeah, fair play to them. Like, they countered us really well. Partey, in that first half, even though he came under a bit of pressure, like, he was able to play out with Xhaka. Odegaard got things going. ESR, fair play to him as well. Like, he's been more decisive in North London derbies than Mesut Ozil ever was as a number 10. So, yeah, fair play for that. They hit us on the break with three quick goals, all of which quite similar, with no runners in midfield to recover. It was very, very easy for them. And, yeah, we found ourselves 2-0 down, and there was a quite telling action which kind of summed up our first half for the third goal, where we actually got the ball into Kane. Poor action for him to lose the ball. I think he went to dribble, right? And he pretty much fell over the ball, and then we'll see, Arsenal countered us. No, fair play, like, the action was poor, but if an attacker loses the ball in the final third, that's not the craziest thing to happen. But there's a lot that has to happen between that action and an opposition team scoring. And really and truly, Kane being, like, the furthest one back other than the defenders was so telling and poor. Højbjerg and Ndombele, both poor. Kane actually got a bit unlucky with his last ditch tackle on Saka, but yeah, he managed to put it away for 3-0. And yeah, really and truly, that summed up the first half for me. I don't know how much of the game you watched, Yael, but I guess you probably turned it off after, like, maybe like 5 minutes, 6 minutes.
Sunday was a difficult day for me. Mm-hmm. Very busy day. So I think I tuned in just before Arsenal scored the first goal. Stuck around for the second goal, switched off. I saw the highlights of all the goals. What I would say is, for the time that I did watch, the thing that I found most fearful is I saw the lineup, and the first thing I thought is the perception of Ali needs to die. Like, he's not good. He's done. And I know people will be like, oh, but he could be like Jay Lings. He could go West Ham and research. He's done. he's cooked. Yeah, there's none of this. He's going to go somewhere and research. The guy is finished. There's no reason. He's not even the most creative player in our team. So why would you put him in the most creative role? It just doesn't make sense. The 10 role, you have to be capable of passing the ball between lines extremely well. And that's what makes a number 10 stand out, or the best number 10 stand out. And if you can't do that, you have to be capable of dribbling past players. Ali's not a good dribbler. He's never been a good dribbler. What he's capable of doing is possibly nutmegging you, but he's not a good dribbler. So he's neither of the two that we need him to be. He's not good in tight spaces, and he's not good in tight pockets. So why put him in a 10? Didn't make sense. To have Højbjerg, and I'm going to make this very clear, and a lot of fans are probably going to turn against me. I'm completely off the Højbjerg trainer. Yeah, that guy's done out. Yeah, I'm not interested in Højbjerg. Yeah, I'm not interested in Højbjerg one bit. It would have made more sense, despite the fact that I've just cost Højbjerg, it would have made more sense if we played Skip, Højbjerg, and Ndombele. That would have made sense to me. That would have made more sense to me. Not saying that it would have changed the result, but it would have made more sense to me. I think the most frightening thing about the North London derby, despite our poor record at the Emirates, despite our poor record against Arsenal, and not just Arsenal, it seems to be when we're away to teams like Arsenal, Liverpool, Chelsea. We've got a better record recently in the years against United. And we've got, across the time period, we've probably had a decent record against City. But in the past and present time, Arsenal, Chelsea and Liverpool, we've been absolutely shocking at their grounds. And to have one victory in, 28 years against Arsenal, I wasn't really expecting anything from this game. And that's where we're at with Spurs. That's what's most infuriating and most annoying about this derby defeat. Is you got a manager who was given Serie A's voted best defender. It's on the bench. You know, you started with Dier and Sanchez because they got 3 clean sheets at the start of the season. They've conceded 6 in the loss in the two before. I know Dier got injured, but regardless, that partnership didn't work. We saw it under Jose Mourinho. It didn't work. It might work for a few games, but it didn't work. That's just the long and short of it. Tanganga, and this is going to sound harsh on Tanganga, he's got the potential to have good games, but he can't be the starting right back. He can't be the starting anything, to be fair. I'd just rather him come off the bench and be an additional help when need be. I don't really want to see him starting. I don't think position-wise he's got that side of his game done. Playing Højbjerg in a single pivot needs to never happen again. Never.
Never.
Never again can that guy ever play the single pivot. There was a screenshot that I saw from the North London derby. And the space...
There was many screenshots. There was many, and it didn't even need the Monday night football analysis to even touch upon this, because everyone was saying it immediately, even during the game and immediately after. Everyone was just, there was multiple like screenshots and screenshots of the space in that midfield in that first half, man. It was
ridiculous. And then the thing is, I know Arsenal fans have really enjoyed themselves this week, and so they should. You know, they've won a North London derby against the rivals. Why would you not enjoy yourself? But I've heard a lot of Arsenal fans come out and be like, oh, yeah, we've turned the tide, boom, boom, boom. We look like we're going forward. Spurs played crap, extremely crap. And in the highlights I saw, we had 3, maybe 4 chances that could have easily gone in. That is not good. And the reason I say that for Arsenal fans is, and I'll make this very, very easy comparison. The way they beat us and we still created or had chances to score, is how we had won our first 3 games. The only difference is they scored more. That's it. Our first three games were exactly the same. We scored. We didn't concede. But we gave up so many chances to our opponents. So many. And that's basically what Arsenal did. But what's frightening with us is I couldn't tell you what our play is. I can't tell you what we look like. I could tell you what we look like under Jose, whether people liked it or not. And I know people would be like, oh, but we're sitting back and we're carrying with Nuno. No, we're not. We had like four attacking players literally in their half and no midfield. So you can't tell me that's sitting back because you wouldn't have your attackers that far up. Yeah. Like, I couldn't tell you what our style of play is. I couldn't tell you what our team's doing. And I can't tell you what the worst player in our team is capable of. So it's very frightening, especially after such a horrible defeat to our rivals.
Yeah, especially when the game plan's improvised, literally on a game-by-game basis. Like, he tried something new with just to try and facilitate Ali. Again, like in the first half, like him and Lucas Moura seemed to just interchange on that right-hand side, which I don't think helped Tanganga. I thought it was quite harsh he got hooked because I didn't think Emerson really offered something which Tanganga wouldn't have been able to do. Although there was a time, there was an action in that first half where Tierney absolutely cooked him for pace, and I didn't think I'd see that. And that's really and truly when I knew it was going to be a bad game, because that happened in the first 5 minutes. But yeah, like the thought process behind that, I think, was, I guess, to have Lucas Moura as a pressing 10, which works quite well at the back end of last season under Mourinho. Obviously, he can't be that productive on the ball, but to try and counter press, it has shown to have some success.
Yeah,
some small relative success, you could say. And you had Dele just there on the right trying to get in the box. I think it may be his attempt to try and get him just in the final third again, just trying to get Dele in somewhat his best position. But even that didn't work, man. So, yeah, like it's obviously justified to have a lot of criticism come Nuno's way. And he admitted afterwards in his post-match that he got the game plan wrong, and then obviously just stopped short of throwing the players under the bus. But I don't think the fans haven't refrained from throwing the players under the bus either. Like, I've seen a lot of Nuno out calls, but some of the players were just absolutely gutless in that first half, to be honest. And I know that's obviously where you would lean towards as well. Like, is there anything you would have taken half from in that second half? Though, obviously, Arsenal were in second gear. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm under no illusions that Arsenal were in second gear in that second half. But yeah, absolutely anything.
I think the most frightening thing about this is I don't, there should never, if there's ever going to be a game in a season where the manager does not need to rile you up, get you involved, get you focused for, it should be the biggest game on the calendar for your club, which is going to be your rival game. It doesn't matter what club you support, whoever your actual out-and-out rivals are, that's the biggest game on the calendar. It always is. Man United, Liverpool, biggest game on the calendar. United fans, true United fans, don't consider City to be their true rivals. It's going to be Liverpool. So that's the biggest game on the calendar. Go ask any United fans, they'll tell you that. Spurs, Arsenal, North London derby. Chelsea, Fulham, because that is their true derby. Yeah? You go ask Fulham fans, they'll be like, Chelsea, that's our rival. That's who we, if we have them in the league, that's who we want to be. That's who we want to do over. So the fans are going to be up for it. I can't understand how you've signed for Tottenham, you wear the Tottenham shirt, and what does the manager have to do? Remind you that you're facing your club's biggest rivals? I didn't get it. Like, that kind of performance, you don't deserve to wear the shirt. You don't deserve to be paid. Like, if this is what I mean by, like, the most infuriating thing about football nowadays is you have that kind of performance and you're still going to get 100,000 for that week of work. Whereas somebody could go into their office and pay and perform that horribly, yeah, as anybody else, and be on the verge of losing their job the following day. That's how bad of a performance that was. So my thing is, all right, cool. You want to do that? Like, I saw what Toby Alderweireld had to say today, saying that he feels like Daniel Levy gives 100%. I think Daniel Levy, I think personally, Daniel Levy is a cancer to the club. But honestly, I absolutely detest this guy. But at the same time, if he does give 100% to the club, if that saying is true, he should have fined every single one of them players. Should have fined them. Learn either one way or learn the hard way. That's my whole ethos. Like, if that kind of performance was so bad, if I was the chairman, I'd be like, there's no way, you can call your lawyers. There's no way you're getting paid this week. Impossible. I couldn't care if you got mortgage payments to make. You're not getting paid this week. Take it up with me next week and if you continue these performances, I'll just keep finding you every single week.
Facts.
Like, I've got no time for this. You mean to tell me we're trying to put seats on bums? We're trying to bring big stuff to Tottenham. We're trying to make Tottenham glamorous. We're trying to make Tottenham the biggest club in England. And you're the bums that are representing us. You can't even show up against your rivals. Who, mind you, at the end of freaking August, our official Twitter page was there doing, oh, look at the table. We're top, they're bottom. Well, they're above us. At the end of the month, at the end of September, they're above us. How have you, are you not embarrassed? It's a shambles. It's a shambles.
No, you're not embarrassed. That was an easy answer as well. If you're not embarrassed, then boy, I don't know. Yeah, I think it's largely our chickens coming home to roost a little bit. I mean, we obviously haven't been great at all with our squad planning. We haven't been great in any aspect of that. Paratici came in, obviously signed the voted Serie A best defender, but obviously we could have improved our first 11 with at least one or two signings. I feel like you've got to compare our business model with Arsenal's because it's still very similar. And see, even though we signed this the best voted Serie A defender in Romero, we apparently didn't even pay anything up front as of like this summer. So it's like a loan with an obligation to buy, and then we'll kind of pay off pretty much the most of the fee, if not all of it, once we're in a better financial position in terms of making sure we're getting that stadium revenue in, right? But I'm hearing, I do listen to Touchy Gooners now and again. It is genuinely a very good pod. And they're saying, you know, they paid money up front for Ramsdale. They paid pretty much money up front for Ben White. And like how are we in a better position revenue-wise and ball-wise, but not spending as much money up front as they are, even though I think we made more from transfers out this summer than they did as well. So it's so poor, like you can't really defend it. And there were players there that could have improved us, like Tomiyasu, who played against us subsequently, would have improved us, like our squad at centre back, for example. These were attainable players, and Ahayo probably wouldn't let me say this if he was in the pod, but Basuma, he's right there. I always felt like Frank Kessié was a pipe dream while we were continually linked with him. Like, that would have been great, but players like Yves Basuma would have easily improved us and very, very attainable, to be honest. I would have taken Basuma.
I'm not really a big fan, but I think he's a decent player, and I would have definitely taken him. Like, right now, it's bad. It's bad in a way where you have to realise that Højbjerg gets run past a lot.
Bro, yes. I even saw it in his cameo tonight. Like, he came on for what, like 15-20 minutes?
He was
shocking on the ball, got ran past a lot. And that's fine when you've got someone behind you, but when you were playing like you were against Arsenal in that first half, at that base of midfield on your own, which was by design, by the way, that was a manager instruction. I don't know why you keep on roaming out of position to only pretty much be walking back. Like, it was so poor from someone who proclaims to be this kind of mentality monster and this Viking. That's why I get onto him as well, because he proclaims himself to be like better. He's a big talker, and he gave us something we didn't have necessarily in the squad season before last. He came in last season and he was pretty much our only semi-reliable ball winner. So he stood out and he had a lot of good performances. And yeah, I don't really know what's happened to him, to be honest. But maybe he's still feeling a bit leggy from obviously being playing every minute of every game last season to then the Euros, to then having a fairly quick turnover to now. Or he's just being exposed now. He's just coming under brighter lights and people are seeing him for what he is, and what our rival fans have been kind of alluding to what he is. But yeah, I've got my lies on him. You're done with him.
I'm done. you know what's funny is, like, this is probably the quickest turnaround I've ever had on a player in my life. Like, I normally give a player like a season or two before I'm like, and then by the third season, I'm like, I'm done. Yeah. But Højbjerg last season was Sissoko's best season.
You know, I was thinking the other day, have we even replaced 18-19 Sissoko?
So Sissoko's best season is what I think Højbjerg gave us last season. Like, I was like, okay, yeah. Like, you're like what should I mean? Like, you're like a cleaner merchant for us, yeah. But the difference was Højbjerg, Sissoko would at least drive with the ball. He would do that kind of Jaff, kind of giraffe run all the way up the pitch, and it would look like we were progressing. Højbjerg can't do that. So you do the whole defensive side of things, barely, and then you don't give us the attacking side of things. I mean, like, what did we sign you for? Like, if we sold Højbjerg, Ali, Ali and Winks have to go. They just have to go.
If we get that 40 million, then yeah, I'll say yes to Winks.
I think Winks should go for free. Personally, I think we should just sell him to the, give him to the job centre. Let them find him a job, because this guy's shocking.
I don't know how this conversation always comes back to Harry Winks. Like, I've already said what I want to say on him, and I don't want to go around in circles.
He's horrible.
He's horrible. Again, because we'll get onto the Mora performance. I just feel like the lights need to be shined much brighter on Højbjerg, especially right now.
Højbjerg is good. Winks
doesn't come out in the media like, I'm a self-proclaimed Viking, some mentality monster. And yeah, perhaps it would be nice if he was a bit more like that personality-wise, but he's not, and he doesn't claim to be. Fair enough. Whereas Højbjerg claims to be, and we see him jogging back on counter-attacks.
Look, I'll be brutally honest, yeah? As much as I get onto Winks, yeah, you're right. He doesn't talk much in the press, but I'm fine with that. Like, I don't want him at my club. Like,
no.
I didn't like Stephen Freund, and I know a lot of Spurs fans kind of held him in. I hated that guy. I hated his guts. He was absolutely crap, yeah? And that's the problem that we've had as Spurs fans, yeah? Some fans hold their players that, if we're really being honest in terms of, like, we're moving and we're trying to, like, become that big club, these players can't be in our team. They can't be anywhere near our club. They're at a level, and that's not the level we want to be at. When we were rebuilding in the early 2000s, we had a old Edgar Davids, but he came in with experience. Yeah, and when the big games, he showed that experience. Cool. We had a young Michael Carrick. I'm so hurt that he didn't stay for longer, but you could already see the talent. And he was like, all right, cool, we're building something here. We had a younger Robbie Keane, and you know, he had his legs and he could give us some really good games. We had a Mido that gave us one good season, but then became, you know, went chicken and got too big and obviously ruined himself. We had a young Defoe. We had good youngsters, but people that could, okay, there's something really. So the problem with Spurs in those early 2000s is defensively, we didn't have a set back four. But attacking-wise, we could give any team in the league a run for their money. Hence why we finished back-to-back seasons fifth, and fifth comfortably. Like, or we challenged for fourth. Like, we were doing it consistently. Then we messed up the model. The last 6 years, we got that model back. We were challenging. We were top four consistently. And now we've ruined it again. We've got a defense that is no different to bloody when we had Michael Dawson at the back. Michael freaking Dawson. Awful. Like that, like this is what I'm talking about. Like the fact that I don't think it takes a rocket scientist to understand that Eric Dier should not be a starting centre back for any of the so-called top six teams in this league. Eric Dier should be starting for Burnley. That's his level.
Michael Dawson was better than Eric Dier, to be fair. Eric Dier, sorry. I keep on saying English players' names wrong. Isn't that an irony?
But yeah. It probably is Dier, to be fair, because we call him because he is Dier. He is absolutely Dier, yeah? But it probably, like, if he was pronouncing his name, he'd probably say Dier because he realised that he sounds diabolical, and he is.
But yeah, the reason I like Dawson is because he never believed his own hype. He never kind of, like, he stayed in his lane. He knew he was like a steady Eddie. We signed him from Nottingham Forest.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, Eric Dier overinflates his own ability in his mind. I don't think Dawson was ever under that illusion. He was always this kind of average player that punched above his weight for us because he was part of the team that actually broke us into the top four. But yeah, I mean, a little reminiscence then.
You know, and that's what's frightening. Even previewing today's game, being at the stadium, Kane got a hat-trick in 20 minutes, but there was many moments in the game, in that cameo that he showed, there was moments in the game where, frighteningly, he looked like he was hiding behind defenders. I just don't get it. And it's funny because people at the stadium were like, well, what do you expect him to do if the players we've got in the team can't find him? Well, then how did he score his hat-trick?
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
You have to move. You just have to move. Regardless of whether it's frustrating, like, and you might not get the ball the first, second, fifth, 20th time, you have to move. The best teams never stop moving. They just don't. That's how you create chances. Yeah. If you're going to spend 5, 10, 15 minutes in a game hiding behind the left back, the centre back, the right back, you're not helping your team. And I saw that Kane do, I saw Kane do that at least four times today in the short period he was on. Højbjerg was absolutely dog crap when he came on. Absolutely awful. Brian Hill, that kid deserves to get more minutes because he's lively. Like, he really is lively. I don't know what's happened to Reguilón. This wasn't such a bad performance today, to be fair. But Reguilón is on watch. Yeah, I've given him his notice. He's at the top of the stairs. You know what happens when you're at the top of the stairs. It can only mean one thing. It can only mean one thing. So Reguilon is, he's on watch. He's on watch right now. Agenda is up, and he could get his notice. He could get that come on down. It's pending. It is pending for him, so he has to be careful. He's one.
For sure.
I mean, the most frightening thing about today, and this is why I can't stand the likes of Dele Alli or Winks. I do, and also, I'd like to make sure that everyone understands this. Dean Scarlett, I felt sorry for the kid today. I really did. Because especially Alli, and this is why I'm going to get mad on this. They barely looked for him.
There was a look that when Dele held onto the ball for too long after Dane Scarlett made his run in the second half, not long before Dane Scarlett got taken off with Dele subsequently. Dele held onto the ball too long. Dane Scarlett ran offside, and then Dele played the ball. And the look and the stare that Dane Scarlett just gave Dele, it was just a stare down.
Like, I just don't get it, yeah? Like, the kid didn't deserve that whatsoever. So,
no.
Alli, Scarlett, Winks come. Winks stayed on, but Alli comes off. Who, I think the front three was Brian Hill,
Mora.
No, it was.
That was behind Kane. I know Son came on as well, right?
Yeah, so it was Hill, Lo Celso, Scarlett. That was the front three. And then Alli was in the 10. Alli comes off, Hill comes off, Scarlett comes off, Mora, Kane, Son come on, Lo Celso goes into the 10. Yeah.
Mm.
Now, the moment these three came on, the game was over for that team. It was done. They didn't stand a chance. And the most frightening thing is, you mean to tell me we took Alli off, and in 20 minutes of action, 20 to 30 minutes of action, the team looked more lively, more potent, more vibrant with him off the pitch in that short period against this crap team than when he was on for 70 minutes. I never want to see Alli again. Never again do I want to see this guy play for Tottenham Hotspurs. Never. 70 minutes against a team I've never, and the words never in capitals need to be inflated. Never in my life have I ever heard or seen this team. 70 minutes. You only looked good for 10.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That was my conclusion from, I guess, what that was pretty much the one positive that I took from the second half of the Arsenal game. Even though, again, Arsenal second gear, but Nuno deciding to hook Dele off at halftime shows that he's got an inkling now that he knows he just can't carry on playing him. And then you've got the game tonight after hooking him on the weekend where his boots look like they were sponsored by a type of concrete contractor, probably, because like he misplaced easy passes again. His first touch ended up being passes a couple of times, and again he's holding on to the ball for too long, even though there's movement in front of him from players like Hill, from Dane Scarlett especially. So yeah, that was my conclusion from that, and that kind of like moves on to kind of my other point, because the North London derby prompted a lot of strong reaction, rightly so. The Tottenham Hotspur Supporters Trust called a meeting with the board to kind of outline and kind of re-establish what the plan is for the club and their DNA going forward for the short term and the long term, because it does seem somewhat in a bit of disarray. There was articles and stuff from The Athletic saying there's players are unhappy with Nuno and his game plans, his training methods. And again, like, even if the links may not even have been true some of the time, that these articles and these links have come out so often now, like, it's quite damning on the players, to be honest, and absolutely stinks. And there's going to be protests at the Villa game as well, I understand. Now, now we've got Nuno pretty much in his press conference for the Moura game, answering questions about, you know, his future, answering questions about the Tottenham DNA. Like, I can't believe those words were even mentioned, because Tottenham never really have had an effective DNA, not in recent times anyway. So yeah, that question being whack, and he actually answered it. And all in all, Nuno's coming under a much more pressure. For me, and next league games are, I think, Aston Villa, Newcastle and West Ham away. I think if we don't really see a good improvement by West Ham away, then I'm doing the invite and invoice to the top of the stairs fully. But really and truly, for that short term of time, like, what can Nuno do to change it around?
I think the best thing he could do to change it around is get sacked. I think
resign, essentially.
Yeah, resign. I mean,
so we don't have to pay him off.
The trust, the Tottenham supporters' trust, I don't know what they do. Yeah. If we were invited to be members of this trust, I'd decline it. I don't know what I honestly don't know what they do. What are you calling a meeting for? For them to lie to you like they've done for the last 20 years? Like, I don't understand any of this. No, because
they're not going to go in strong either, I don't think. So, exactly. I mean, I hope they do, and credit to them for even setting up the meeting. But yeah, like, they've got to go in strong. Like, I just don't think they will.
I don't feel like the board fears the trust. Yeah. And no, I don't, they don't. Like, so if they don't fear the trust, what the hell is this meeting for? Because they're only going to fill you with a load of crap that they've been feeding everyone else for the past X amount of years. So I'm not even having none of that nonsense here. Like, that's dry to me. Like, what makes me laugh even more is that we're supposed to be having, so Villa's next, and apparently there's meant to be a protest before the Villa game. Well, when teams were protesting the freaking Super League, our protest was a concert. So what are we protesting for? Like, our fans need to either get with the program and become serious and actually scare the living daylights out of this board. And what I mean by that is United fans stormed the living hell out of their own pitch, their own stadium. They took penalty kicks, free kicks, went in goal, took photos in the stand. They were happy to almost, they cancelled a game against their rivals. They cancelled a game to show the board, if you don't sort this out, it's going to get worse. We're not here to play about. Our fans went and had a concert. You know what the board did? They said, oh, you guys don't need Conte. We'll give you Nuno. Thank you. Thank you. Well done. Yeah. Because we had a concert. Nah.
And it was nearly Gattuso. Scary.
I mean, it was exactly even worse. I'm not here to give Nuno time. Sorry. Like, I've had enough. It's not that I've had enough of giving managers time. The last two managers we had in Poch and Jose, I supported both of them against the players. I don't support Nuno against the players, and I don't support the players against Nuno. I think they're both as bad. So the manager's the easiest option to get rid of. Get rid of him. The players are going to be harder to get rid of. But get a manager that will come in and be like, you know what? You and you will definitely play for me and definitely play for this club. You're staying. We're going to train together. All you other guys that want to do higgy and you're not sure, you want to do boohoo, man, go train with the under-23s, because this is your notice. You are never playing for us again. You're not playing in the Carabao Cup. You're not going to play in the Conference League. You're not playing none of those competitions.
None.
Your time is done.
Done.
Like, until we get a manager like that, we're finished. Conte would have been perfect.
Yeah, he would have been. Like, I've been screaming for us to... I mean, I guess not screaming for us, but I've always felt like a three at the back would suit us more. And that's Nuno's kind of preferred formation from his time at Wolves. maybe he could revert back to that because he has more, I guess, tactical nous with that kind of system. He isn't going to be trying to improvise it like he has been the last few weeks. Oliver Skip simply has to play. He has to play for midfield. Like he looks sharp again tonight. Even if it's with Højbjerg, just to give him that bit of protection as well as Tongu. I feel like if we're going to go with a midfield three, that has to be it. Like,
yeah, Højbjerg should only play up until January. And then we need to get somebody else in. And Højbjerg has to become... He has to go on the bench. I'm done with Højbjerg. I'm absolutely done. He's at the top of the stairs. And you know what happens when you're at the top of the stairs. His time has come. I'm calling him down, bro. It's time. It
doesn't even sound like he needs pushing from the top of the stairs at this point.
The invoice has been sent. I am not here no more. Yeah, that guy, he's a liar. He's a fraud. Yeah, I didn't realize this in the first, because I was like, oh, Spurs, we needed somebody who's going to harry the players and, you know, boom, boom, and it looked good for 6 months. But like any part of the year, a year is 12 months. You can't have a good 6 months and go missing by Christmas. It doesn't make sense. That's how you end up with no presents. This guy gave us no presents. So he has to go. I've got no sentimental value for none of these players. And I'm not calling Dele Alli Dele. I know he wants to be referred to as Dele. I'm calling him Ali. Yeah, because that's what he's done. Bama
Dele.
Yeah? Bama Dele Alli, yeah. And he will not be given his name back until until he shaves off some stupid nonsense that he's got in his head and actually plays some decent football. And as for the mock that wears number 10, he's still a mock. I don't care that he scored a
hat-trick
today.
Damn. Oh, there was me thinking you were cheering every single one of his goals today.
Nope. I applauded the play of the team. So the movement between Son, yes, Kane or Mook showed some good movement. Lucas showed great movement. Lo Celso did, surprisingly, even though he's done. He's another one that can go. Romero has to start.
Yes.
Just has to start. I don't know who he's going to partner with, but he has to start.
Let's fairly measure to throw Don tonight.
Nah.
Not having Rodon.
So, one thing that I noticed, especially in the defense, was Romero would shift with, say, their right striker or whoever was on his side. He would shift with that player. And the gap between him and Rodon, instead of it being like, say, this, it was like that.
Mm.
It was massive. And I'm like, any good team would play that ball in between the two of you. Player coming late run, they're in. Rodon should be wise enough to close up that gap. I don't know why he was so far left. It was ridiculous. It was absolutely ridiculous. And I'm like, I'm not even a coach. I don't have a badge.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I don't understand why you're professionals. You get paid more per week than anybody that was sitting on my row. It's bad. It's just, it's not a good look. So, yeah, it would probably be Romero. I don't want to say this, but...
Eric.
No.
Okay.
No. That's why I didn't want to say it, because it's going to have to be Sanchez.
Damn.
That's how you know Spurs are in the grief. Yeah. Like, we are in real problems. We don't have... And freaking Inter Milan were broke, we didn't even go in for Skriniar. I don't get this.
Oh, yeah, no, we did. We just lowballed them, unfortunately. I think it was like 32 million and they wanted 45, 50, and we just had to in. But we had the money to do that this summer. Pay their asking free, but again, yeah, I if I was Milan Skriniar, I would have just laughed at the opportunity to join us at this point anyway. So I'd take heart, slight heart in that, in believing that he probably wouldn't come to us at this point.
Yeah. I mean, the rebuild is obviously exactly what Pop said it was going to be. Absolutely horrific, absolutely painful. And we probably won't get anywhere near where we were seasons ago for probably another season and a half. But under Nuno, we're potentially looking at the bottom half of the league.
Yeah, like it's a lot of these things are rotten to the core, and he's not the root cause of our issues. Don't get me wrong. Like, he's come under a lot of valid criticism recently, but man, I just think this job's too big for him. So yeah, like if he's not turned it around again by West Ham away in a few weeks, then boy, like we might as well. We have to just get a new manager in January, someone with a more proactive way of playing, something that suits their DNA more.
DNA. We don't have no DNA.
My football aesthetic, and I would like a coach to come in, if he hasn't improved it, that would suit that aesthetic. And that's at least some kind of progressive play that suits the players we currently have. Because either, like, if you're going to hire a manager like Nuno, which we have to more or less overhaul the squad quickly. Yeah. Because again, like, I feel like the only player that can effectively play his way, especially going forward, is Heung-min Son. Like, I alluded to it in another pod. And then back onto Højbjerg quickly, because I don't want to be too harsh on him, even though he was terrible tonight. He was terrible against Arsenal. But I still feel like with Skip, not even him being, even though he gets dribbled past a lot, he's still a very good interceptor. He's still a good tackler in 1v1 situations. And he, even though he proclaims to be this like leader who leads all Vikings of men, etc., etc., that's not quite the case. But at the same time, he's still a better leader than 99% of our squad, unfortunately. Because I mean, Hugo Lloris has shown, like, he's actually impressed me. He's led by example more recently.
Yeah,
he's quite vocal. Harry Kane, not a leader.
Never.
None of our defenders are elite. None of them are leaders. Eric Dier tries to be.
Eric Dier couldn't even lead his own brother in avenging him from being abused by fans. He ran up, couldn't find the player. So Eric Dier is useless.
Yeah, just my conclusion on Højbjerg. Like, I feel like we can still get a tune out of him as long as we're protecting him with another midfielder like Skip, who can cover a lot of big spaces and be a defensive presence off the ball as well as on it. And he just needs to pattern up.
So I think
he did show us, like you said, he did show us a good first 6 months.
Yeah. But I think we go. See, this is the thing with Spurs that's more infuriating. There shouldn't be a fear to go big. So, Højbjerg, he doesn't feel challenged. He thinks he's. This is the problem with Spurs. A lot of the players that are in the first team probably don't feel challenged. Don't feel like, rah, if I have a bad game, I'm going to miss a game or miss a month or miss 2 months. They don't really think that. Yeah, they think, you know, if I have a bad game, I'll be back next week, minor. Yeah. January's coming around. Go big. Mm-hmm. Freaking City went and got Aguero in January.
Did they?
Yeah, in the year that Aguero came, they got him in January for 38 million. Like, this, that it's that kind of attitude that I'm talking about that Spurs have lacked for so many years. Like, go big, go in January. Oh, Kessie, go get him.
Mm.
United got Bruno in January.
Correct.
Yeah, like these kind of stuff. Like, if you're not gonna, like, I know people say, oh yeah, but it's hard to do transfers in January. All right, yeah, that's fine. Yeah, cool. I'm not gonna sit here and say it's easy. It clearly isn't easy. But if you're not willing to go big in that month in which we need the club to go big, we're gonna struggle. You can't have Højbjerg as one of your main. Skip is a different story, because you can tell Skip is one of those, how should I put it? He's young enough now. He's like, what, 20, 21? Mm-hmm. So he's young, where he's going to give you the very best he can do.
Because he knows his position isn't safe.
Yeah, he knows. Yeah, he definitely knows it's not safe. So he's going to give you the, even his bad game, he's still going to try and give you his very best. Cool. We can live with that. Højbjerg's best game this season has been what? I couldn't tell you.
This season.
What game did stood out where you're like, that's a great performance?
I think he had a good performance. I think it was at home to Watford, where he had a few good progressive passes off the ball, average, but we had most of possession. He was, I'd say, a strong 6-7 in that game. Other than that, I couldn't give you a good answer to your question.
You get afraid, a 6, yeah, just kicking off. You get a 6 for just actually being on the pitch. Once the ball kicked off,
if it's Football Manager, yeah, I, for in my mind, I start every player on a 0, but yeah, or it, 5. Like,
in general match ratings, yeah, people will be like, kickoff starts, everyone's on 5 out of 10 because it's average, decent. Yeah, if you don't do much in a game, the lowest you go down to is about 4. If you do a little bit in a game, you'll go up to about 6. So you don't really change much, yeah. But if, for argument's sake, you have an absolute stinker, you could drop below a 4. So you could get a 3 or 2. That's bad, yeah. But let's say you score, or you're pivotal in the moment that led to your team winning, you could get a 7. That's a good performance. Højbjerg getting a 6 against Watford, who are likely to possibly go right back down this season, it's not a good look. It's just not a good look. Like, he owes us money. That's the way I look at it. That 15 million, whatever it was, Højbjerg should be paying us right back, because we've had to sit down and watch this malarkey that he's given to us over the last 6 to 8 months. Absolutely horrible. And I know people are going to say, oh, but he had the great Euros. I wasn't impressed.
That's fair. And I definitely agree with your point. Like I said, we need to attack the January window if possible. I guess the only issue is, like, if we go for a Frank Hasse, like, yeah, that, I think it would be fairly attainable depending where Milan are on the table. I think if they're top of the league, he's probably not going to want to join straight away, but he's not signed a new contract with them. I guess the only problem with signing someone like Frank Hasse or Bissouma is that, I mean, Kessie is going to be likely away with the Ivory Coast and the Africa Cup of Nations around that time. So
that's fine. We can survive.
Sticky. Yeah. And then, respectively, Bissouma with Mali as well. So it's looking sketchy for January, which is never a good window anyway. But yeah, if we can get in a centre midfielder, maybe even another centre back in January, then all power to us. I just don't see it. I can only hope. Yeah, bring Graham Potter with Bissouma if we get him.
At this point, we might as well take him, because Nuno is,
I want him,
horrendous. Nuno is not, sorry, I'm like, I know people be like, it's too early, he might turn it around, all of this jazz. I don't give a damn if he turns it around. This guy has to go. And I've never, not in all my life of being a Spurs fan, I've never turned on a manager this quickly. Never.
No, you were even still a supporter of Mourinho until like his very last weeks. So
yeah, like even with Poch, when it went horribly sour with Poch, I was like, it's the players. Yeah, but with Nuno, I couldn't give a damn if it's the players. He has to go. Nah, man. He has to go. I don't deserve this. I don't. I'm a father. I don't deserve this. It's bad attitude. I don't deserve this.
I've already been thinking that I can't put my 2.5-year-old son through this any longer. We've had two lost finals. We're horrendously bad. That said, I grew up with the worst Spurs team, so I guess, you know, it could be worse. But
I mean, yeah, I mean, that period between, wow, 94 to about 2001 was bad. like, I never want to experience that. I mean, yeah, I know we finished, what, 12th? I think it was like 12th. And then from about 2010 onwards, we didn't see the bottom half of that table ever again, which should be the case anyway. But yeah, 94 to like, especially 98, where I thought we were going to get relegated. Jesus. Like, so, yeah, I don't need to suffer that kind of pain.
It's that period which I think of whenever anyone refers to our DNA. And I just don't want to see that return. But fortunately for you,
that at all.
That's what I mean. But fortunately for you, and you've already alluded to it, like you saw a game in the stadium tonight. You saw Nuno ball in the flesh. We won 5-1 tonight against a team from Slovenia in the Europa Conference League. Well done to us. Fair play. Was there anything that you took heart from in that performance tonight?
Brian Hill,
yeah. Skip,
Romero, and that's it. Everybody else can go to the top of the stairs, because you know what that means. It's time to come on down. Listen, let me make this very clear. Dele Alli should
that
never...
first half forget like that. His cameo was. So even though he won a penalty and scored it, and
won a penalty, scored it.
That was a false image from his overall performance.
When he came off, he seemed to be arguing with somebody. He went down the tunnel, straight down the tunnel. Don't know why. Some people were alluding to a possible injury. I couldn't see any sort of any reason as to what may have not injured him. So. I hope that when he was heading down the tunnel, somebody said something to him. He wasn't happy. And I hope this is the writing on the wall, because I'm absolutely done. He has to go from yesterday. He should have gone from yesterday. He shouldn't even be around now. So I can't wait. The day that I see breaking news on Sky Sports News, and Dele Alli's been sold to the team we just faced today, because as far as I'm concerned, that's his level. That's where he should go. He should go to Slovenia, because that's his level. The Premier League is no longer his level. Or go down to freaking League Two and play for Morecambe or Fleetwood Mac. I couldn't care whoever you play for. Don't play for my club ever again. Like, I'm done.
Boohoo Man Slovenia edition.
Yeah, bro. I'm absolutely
this winter.
He is shocking. He's finished. I've never seen a player decline this fast. Never.
Yeah, it's scary because he's only 25 now as well. He might even be 24 still, but I believe he's 25. And yeah, it's crazy how much he's declined. Like he even alludes to obviously not taking his opportunities, how he should, taking his position at Spurs for granted. I think he came out and said that after the Palace game. After saying that he's not creating enough, he's not performing well enough, like he came straight from the horse's mouth. Yet Nuno keeps on starting him. I think he needs to find his feet. He at least, at the very, very least, needs to go out on loan somewhere else in January, because he cannot play.
I want him sold completely.
We're not going to get anything for him, and yeah, we can't.
How much do you reckon
we do it? We did to Serge Aurier at this point, boy.
Terminate the contract. I'm happy with that. Get rid of him.
Maximum, at the very maximum, and this is purely mostly English tax. 20.
Whoa.
Probably 20 million.
You'd have a harder bargain than Levy, but 20 million for this trash. I'd say we just terminate the contract. I don't even care if we lose money on him. He's useless. Get rid of the kid.
Yeah, I agree. I can't even argue for him anymore. Like, obviously, I was a bit more of an optimist for him. I was open to him at least regaining his fitness back and trusting his body again, because he did have back-to-back hamstring injuries and looked pretty decent in certain cameos, especially under Mourinho's first few months as manager. So, yeah, like, obviously, Dele's best attribute was his positional game, his intensity, and to be able to essentially cover and be in all areas of the pitch that he needed to be. He was a pressing monster, and he's completely lost that. Even though he's, stats-wise, putting in the kilometres, he's doing at least 10, 11 a game, I think. But, yeah, that intensity's not there at all. I put out a tongue-in-cheek tweet during the game against Moura, pretty much outlining what I thought were the positives for it, and it was essentially, I mean, purely, we're playing a team from Slovenia. It was Mooney.
Yeah.
Reguilon looks more measured. And I felt like taking that back after I saw a few actions in that second half. But I felt like he had a pretty measured first half. Romero got minutes. Oliver Skip coming out of his shell even more. He looks really, really good. Kane ran in behind to score. That's just something that he needs to see. And yeah, a lot of people were kind of being like, yeah, this is a positive performance in the sense that it's going to give players confidence. But yeah, for me, it's not so much confidence. I don't think Kane is a confidence boost. He needs to be a bit sharper. Like, he's been a slow starter for time. It's taken him a bit longer this season. Like, we're now in October as we speak.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, the quicker he gets sharper, the better. And essentially, reaffirmation, Dele can't play or pass. Dane Scarlett deserved better. That was pretty much my summary from the Moura game. But I should add that I felt like Lo Celso looked good. Once we actually had our quality players on, like, he actually got his head up. Like, whenever he gets his head up, he actually shows moments of quality passing and through balls, and he played a fair few first-time through balls, which resulted in, like, good moves, get us further up the pitch, and goals. So, yeah, fair play for Lo Celso, because that right side's been a problem area for us. Would you add to that with anything else?
No, I think that was a fair assessment. Yeah, I think that was a fair assessment. I think Brian Hill is one we should definitely... I hope we don't ruin this kid, because he looked lively. He looked like he wanted to get on the ball. Reguilon was measured, but he needs to push forward. He needs to not be afraid to just drive into the hole with that ball. He tends to, like, go forward and then passes it back. Why would you do that? Like, just drive at them. Force them to commit.
Because there was a few little mazy runs which I saw him do, and I was just like, okay, yes, that's more like the regular one we had. Exactly. And he had a similar pattern to Højbjerg, where he had a first, like, a really good starting period for us, and then
he got injured.
Injuries and overplaying him just screwed him.
I think the injury, whatever the injury was, because I can't remember what it was, I think that done a lot of damage. And he's taken longer than I would have at first thought to get back to some sort of, like, high-level quality playing. Whereas Højbjerg, I think Højbjerg has just been found out. That's where I'm at with Højbjerg. I think he's just been found out. And that is not a good look, if that's the case. That's very bad.
Boy. Our rival fans are going to jump all over that. But, yeah, it's rightly so. Brian Hill, obviously, having a good performance. I rated very highly as well. We got a game on the weekend. The thing I took a little bit of heart from as well, like Hill came off early, which suggested to me that he's in Nuno's plans for the weekend.
Possibly.
Firstly, again, like a game on the weekend is at home to Aston Villa. Just a quick one. Are you starting Brian Hill?
Yes. So I do Hill on the right, Son on the left, Kane through the middle. I would go skip Højbjerg and Ndombele. And Ndombele free roll, free to roam. If not Ndombele, then Mora, because at least Mora will drive.
I can't ever see Mora as a number 10 again, even though he likes to press.
Yeah.
Even under non-existent pressing structures, he likes to press. I can't see. I don't want him number 10.
Obviously. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't want him at number 10, but this is going to sound mad as well. Freaking Ndombele is starting to frighten me because that guy is not, he's not making the pod look good at all. So
no.
It's a bit of a frightening time period at Spurs. So I would probably, I'd probably go with Højbjerg, skip Ndombele, Romero, Sanchez, because I just don't want to see that. I don't want to see Sanchez either, but it'll probably be Romero. It probably will be neither of them. It'll probably just be Dyer and Sanchez, but definitely Romero. Reguilón at right, left back, and Emerson at right back. And then, I honestly don't want to see even Tanganga at right back. Like, I know he had a good start to the season, but I'm not interested. I'm actually not interested. Because his positional sense is still the same. It's been the same all season. It's just bad. Like, and what saved him against City is that he was so touch tight to the likes of like Sterling and Grealish that they couldn't outmuscle him or get round him. But other teams have been like, we're not gonna allow you to get touch tight. We're just gonna create the space and just bop it round you. I ain't got time for that. So, yeah, Tanganga can kick rocks for all I care now.
And a quick score prediction. After that open as hell defense, I feel like I know what the score prediction is kind of going to be.
I'm going to go with a 3-0 victory to Aston Villa. That's legit. I'm not even holding back. I think we're going to get smashed. Like, seriously. I'm at the point of the season where if we win games from this point on, I'm going to be surprised.
Boy, I'm not confident for this game either. Can't lie. Aston Villa are fresh off beating a super team on their home patch. We should be light work, really and truly. But yeah, I definitely wouldn't go with that centre back pairing. Like, I don't think Romero and Sanchez would go well together at all, because I feel like they're both kind of centre backs that like to come out the defensive line. They like to try and win the ball early, and Romero's still getting used to the league, so he's not going to be that effective at it yet, I don't think. But we've got to throw him at the deep end as a marquee signing. So I'd definitely start him. Sanchez, even though he started off the season okay, I don't think him and Romero together is a particularly good match, unless it was a back three and there was someone behind them just to be a sweeper. But yeah, I think unfortunately, yeah,
I would never put that in a sweeper role. I'd probably go.
I didn't say names. I just said someone.
Oh yeah,
it could be Alfie Whiteman for all I care. Like, we need someone.
Jesus Christ, because that's the amount of help we need.
Well, I'm afraid you're getting Moses. So there's that. He's just gonna part the waves and let Danny Ings smite us for not signing him.
True.
But yeah, I would go Romero and Dyer. Unfortunately, I feel like that's just a better match. At least the distances between the two centre backs might be a bit better because Dier needs that protection and he loves trying to tell people what to do. If not, I might even go with Joe Rodon and Romero again, but just for trying it out sake, because
yeah,
neither Dier, neither Sanchez is working. Right back, I don't know. I actually don't know. I guess I'll start Emerson because, again, like he's second, I guess, marquee signing.
Yeah,
we'll have to throw him in at a deep end. And he's impressed me defensively. Like on paper, it seems like him and Regular would be two attacking fullbacks and would leave us open. But even though Emerson doesn't necessarily take people on going forward, yeah, hopefully he comes out of his show in that respect. Positionally, he's like commands the line quite well, I feel like. Really? He's always like his positional game is very good. He always seems to be able to recover ground if he's slightly out of position.
Yeah,
he's athletically very fast, and defensively I think defensively he looks pretty solid, and that's pretty much what we need right now if we're gonna try and protect our defense in any way, shape or form. Reguilon pretty much picks himself because Sessegnon, I believe he's still coming back from injury, and Ben Davis is Ben Davis. So, yeah, hopefully Sessegnon can come back soon and start challenging Reguilon for that spot, because I feel like he's someone who can come in and do well after a few minutes under his belt. I know you're calling him out as the suspect, he looks more measured than Reguilon, at least.
And
I can't have someone continuously under their lights and not feel like they're challenged. So, Sessegnon, please don't be a suspect. The midfield pretty much picks itself. I'll go with the same midfield as you.
Yeah,
I'd say midfield as I think the fan base are united again in what the midfield probably should be, in Skip, Højbjerg and Ndombele. And then I would probably go the same front three as you as well. I'll probably go Ryan Hill and Son flanking Kane. I'd probably interchange the wings during the game, if possible, because Hill even came out and he was quoted as saying his favourite position is left wing. Son also plays left wing, but Son is fairly comfortable on the right at times. So interchanging the wings wouldn't be the worst game plan. We can't get any worse than last weekend, obviously, and Kane being up top and hopefully running in behind here and there. If Hill's struggling, I guess I'll bring on Lo Celso on the right-hand side after his good showing in midweek, because that could be a way through the game. He's had good games against Aston Villa before. I think last time he played Aston Villa away, he had a good game, not so much at home. So I'd take heart in that. But yeah, like I'm not confident of a win. I think Danny Ings is destined to score against us.
Again.
Yeah. He's going to have our centre-backs on toast for sure. I'll go with a 2-2 draw.
Ooh.
As my prediction. And I feel that's as confident as it gets for me. But
quite optimistic.
It's going to be an interesting few weeks. How crazy is it to say that that's an optimistic thing, that we have truly, truly fallen as a club?
Yeah, definitely.
And it's not even the late hours that we're recording this stream right now, which has got me deflated. Like, we're just that bad, and the dynamic of the club is in the pits.
Yeah.
Once again, but who knows? We might even regain this magical Tottenham DNA, which has been spoken about
so much.
Not since I lost to Arsenal. Too much, man. But yeah, that about wraps it up. I guess me personally, I'll try and make an appearance on the Discord again. Was quite fun last weekend, to be fair, even though we got completely disgraced. But yeah, I'll try and get on the Discord with the boys on Sunday. Check out Tobes' reactions to last game as well. Like, I'm sure it's been very fruitful. I haven't seen it, but I can imagine after leaving the game halfway through on the weekend, it'll be very interesting. Thank you as well for those people who are watching at this late hour. It's 12:30 as we're wrapping up this pod now, so there's still a fair few of you watching, so thank you. And yeah, that about wraps it up. Yael, thank you for joining me.
No problem.
As my lovely measured co-host, as always. Scott Hall and X-Pac of the NSO are out, and yeah, please join us again next Thursday and listening every Saturday morning. NSO
on debut, Tunde Ondombele has scored the equaliser for Spurs. Lucas Moura clips it. A great goal! Stephen Bergwijn has arrived in North London. That is absolutely incredible on debut. Aurier!
Sports Social Podcast Network.